I want you to turn in your Bibles this morning, Deuteronomy chapter number 15. I've got two places I want you to turn, Deuteronomy chapter number 15 and Romans chapter 12, and put a bookmark in Deuteronomy chapter 15 and then in Romans chapter 12 as well. And we'll start reading in Romans chapter 12, but I'll give you just a moment to find those two places. Last week I preached out of Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, and that's where we're going to start this morning, and then we'll go back to Deuteronomy chapter number 15. And so I'll give you just a moment to turn there and find your place. We'll read the scripture and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. All right, if you found your place, we'll start in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now go back to Deuteronomy chapter number 15 and keep your place in Romans 12. And we'll begin reading in Deuteronomy chapter 15 and verse number 12. The Bible says, and if thy brother, an Hebrew man, or an Hebrew woman, be sold unto thee, and serve thee 6 years, then in the seventh year thou shalt let him go free from thee. And when thou sendest him out free from thee, thou shalt not let him go away empty. Thou shalt furnish him liberally out of thy flock and out of thy floor and out of thy winepress. Of that wherewith the Lord thy God hath blessed thee, thou shalt give unto him. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. Therefore I command thee this thing today. And it shall be, if he say unto thee, I will not go away from thee, because he loveth thee and thine house, because he is well with thee, then thou shalt take an awl and thrust it through his ear unto the door. And he shall be thy servant forever, and also unto thy maidservant thou shalt do likewise. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you so much for letting us be here today and all the many blessings you've given to us, Lord. We thank you for it. Lord, as we come today, we're amazed at the mercies of God. As we tried to preach on that last Sunday, God, you're so good to us. Lord, you blessed us in so many ways. I pray you'd help us as we start out this new year to get started out on the right foot in the right way, with the right frame of mind and heart. God, as we come today, I pray for your help. I pray, Lord, for your forgiveness. I plead your blood. Lord, I'm unworthy in and of myself for anything. God, I need your help today. I pray you'd speak to our hearts. I pray you'd help us. Lord, as only you can, I pray you'd give liberty. I pray you'd give freedom of thought. And God, I pray you'd speak to our hearts as only you can, and we'll thank you for all that you do. Lord, have your way in the service today. There's many, many objects upon our hearts and upon our minds, people that are sick, people that are out in the world, people that are sin sick and lost. God, just help us to make a difference. Help us to have a burden and use us for your honor and your glory. I pray for your help right now, and I ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. I want to try to preach today on the subject of Romans chapter 12, verse number 1, illustrated. I want to try to take Deuteronomy chapter number 15 and use that to illustrate what that means. You know, sometimes the best way to explain something is by using an illustration. We try to explain something and we'll say, it's like this. You know, we can quote Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. But when we really ask ourselves a question, what does that mean? What does that mean to present your bodies a living sacrifice? You know, you don't have that ask of you out here in the world. They don't ask you to do that at school or in university or at the workplace or anywhere like that, but that's language that we find in the Bible. What does that mean? Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Well, it's like this. It's like this that we find in Deuteronomy chapter number 15 in this passage of Scripture we read here. Those of you that have a Scofield Bible, it's got a heading in there between verse 15 and verse 16, and it says this, the perpetual servant. And we'll read verse 16 again, and it shall be if he say unto thee, I will not go away from thee, because he loveth thee in thine house, because he is well with thee, then thou shalt take an awl and thrust it through his ear unto the door, and he shall be thy servant forever. I've got all kinds of books and outlines, and there's Brother Don Green. He preached a message on the perpetual servant, and I was looking at that in that little book I've got, and I thought, well, you know, where'd he get that title from? And then I turned over in my Bible, and it right out of the between the verses, the perpetual servant. That means that word perpetual that goes on and on and on. And he says there, he'll serve thee forever. We'll look at that this morning. And I think about that message by Brother Green or the note here in the Scofield Bible, the perpetual servant. As I studied about this, I really thought that I had preached on this before, but as I begin to look into it, I don't think I've ever preached on this servant with his ear bored through with an awl, but I remember coming right here to Mount Lebanon, and it would have been in the early 90s, probably 1992, early 1993. I was pastoring over at Forest Grove, and God was dealing with my heart about the radio ministry, getting involved in the radio ministry at that time. And I was praying about it and seeking the Lord's will about that. And Brother Jimmy Rose was in the area and he was preaching around. He'd preached over at Forest Grove and maybe over at Friendship, some different places. And he was preaching over here at Mount Lebanon on a Sunday night. And I remember coming over here on a Sunday night and Brother Jimmy Rose preached on this subject, the servant that had his ear bored through with an awl. And God really used that message to nail down in my heart that God wanted me to be in the radio ministry. And I've been in the radio ministry ever since. But I remember coming to Mount Lebanon, he preached on that. I remember lots of people coming to the altar. I remember sitting right back there behind where Brother Stephen is and him preaching on this subject. And it's an illustration of what Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1 is. I really believe that our greatest need in 2012, you know, this is supposed to be the year that the world ends, so if we're going to do something, we'd better do it quickly. You know, we've all heard a lot about that and maybe read about it and the Mayan calendar ending and how you ought to store up with more supplies and all of those things. But you know, I think what we need more than more supplies for 2012, we need more of Him. If we just had more of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives, that'd be a good step to get started out again in this new year, 2012. And I've learned through the years that the way to have more of Him, talking about the way to have more of the Lord Jesus Christ, the way to have more of Him is for Him to get more of me. And if He gets more of me, I found out, then I get more of Him. Now, don't go away and take me out of doctrinal context there. When we get saved, we get all of Him that we're going to get. But as we give our lives to Him, He gets more of us. We realize and recognize more of His presence and His power and His love in our lives. You know what I really need this morning? I need for Him to get more of me. And so He can use me. And we as a church, we need to give more of our lives to Him. And He'll be more manifest and we'll see His power and His presence more in our lives. But I want to point out five or six things here about this servant that had his ear bored through with an awl, and how that it is an illustration of what it means to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord, which is our reasonable service. And the first thing I want to point out here in Deuteronomy chapter 15 is out of verse number 13. The first thing I see here is that there's liberty. There's liberty. It says in verse number 13, "And when thou sendest him out free from thee, thou shalt not let him go away empty." When thou sendest him out free from thee. The law is the law of the Hebrew servant. Now you may pick that up in verse number 12. He said, "If thy brother, an Hebrew man, or an Hebrew woman." Now, in the law of God, they could have Hebrews, this is the children of Israel, this is God's people here in Deuteronomy. They're receiving the law, God's law for them. And the law for them was that they could have a Hebrew slave, but they couldn't have a Hebrew slave forever. There was a time limit on having a Hebrew slave. Now, I suppose that they could have a Canaanite or an Egyptian or a Philistine slave, and that would just be their slave, their property, forever. But now when it come to their own people, they could only have a Hebrew servant, and the word literally means a slave here. They could only have him for 6 years. And at the end of that 6 years, in the seventh year, the Hebrew servant was to be set free. The Bible says in Exodus 21 in verse number 2, "If thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing." Now what we have a picture of here in Deuteronomy chapter number 15, the master is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Hebrew servant there is a type of those who he has bought with his own blood. If the master's a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, then that servant, that's a type of you and I that have been saved by the grace of God. Do you realize this morning you're bought with a price? If you're saved, that's what the Bible says. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6 and 20, it says, "For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." We are not our own anymore. We belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our master. We are to be his servant. But do you know, even in serving him, there's the wonderful blessing of liberty. God gives us liberty. The Bible says in Galatians 5 and 1 or 6 and 1, it says, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free." Now, it's interesting to me that there is in the 6 year, the number 6 in the Bible is the number of man. The number 6 in the Bible is the number of man. It's the number of sin. It's the number of failure. It's the number of Satan, because he falls short of God. He wanted to be like God, but he's fallen short of that. So the number 6 speaks of sin and failure, and it's the number of man. But the number 7 is God's number. It's God's number of completeness. God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and on the seventh day was the Sabbath day. And what God did on the Sabbath day, God, as an example unto us, he sat down and he rested as an example unto us. He was finished with creation. 7 is the number of completion. It's God's number. And so we see the two numbers there. The Bible said in John 8 and verse 36, it says, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." We are his, but we're free. That's interesting. You know, if you're saved, it's like this. You're his. He has the title to your life, because he bought you with the price of his own blood. He owns us this morning. He has the title to your life, bought and paid for, your eternal salvation by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has the title deed to your life, but you've got possession. And the question is this morning, what are you going to do with the possession of your life? Are you going to waste it? Are you going to fritter it away on the things of this world? Or are you going to come as your reasonable service and present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service? We find in the Bible this word, the word consecration. In the book of Numbers, chapter number 6, it talks about the consecration there of the, and the word just slipped out of my mind. What was Samson? He was a Nazarite. The Nazarite vow, and it talks about his consecration to the Lord. Your consecration to the Lord, that's the same idea here in Deuteronomy chapter 15 or Romans chapter number 12. It's coming and presenting our bodies. God has given us freedom to turn His property over to Him. See, He owns us. And it's just us coming and saying, Lord, I am Thine, O Lord. What do You want to do with my life? Like Paul said, Lord, what which thou have me to do? There's liberty in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the question this morning is, what do we do with the liberty that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ? Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Come and say, Lord, here it is. And that's what this servant does here in Deuteronomy chapter number 15. First of all, there's liberty. Second of all, there's loyalty this morning. If you look in Deuteronomy chapter number 15 and verse number 16, we'll find there's not only the liberty there that we have, but there's the loyalty in verse 16. The Bible said, and it shall be if he say unto thee, I will not go away from thee. See, He's fulfilled his 6 year service. Now the time has come where he's going to be set free. But the servant, when the day comes for him to be set free, he says this, I will not go away from thee. That's loyalty. We need some loyalty in this day and time in which we live. Notice what he did not say. You know, a lot of times you can learn something from what they didn't do. Now I can understand and I see his dedication, his loyalty there. He said, I will not go away. But I notice this, he didn't say this. He didn't say, thank you for bailing me out. If you ever need anything, give me a call. Give me a call. You know, that's how a lot of people are in their salvation. Lord, thank you for saving me. If you ever need me to do anything, I'll be over here sitting, warming a pew, or I'll be doing this, or I'll be doing that. And if you ever need anything, speak loud and clear and audibly. That's how a lot of people's attitude is. You know what? If you really studied this out about this Hebrew servant, do you know the way you ended up being a slave? You were in trouble. You had a lot. You had something come into your life. You lost your freedom. You lost your land. You couldn't pay your bills or your debts or something like that. And the only way that a Hebrew could end up a slave is that his life, there was a great trial and trouble in his life. And he didn't lose it on purpose. He lost his freedom. He got in a mess of trouble, and the master came along and bought him and bailed him out. And when it come time to set him free, he didn't just set him free. Did you read over there? He said, thou shalt, you're going to restock him out of how God has blessed you. That's what it said in verse 14. Thou shalt furnish him liberally out of thy flock and out of thy floor and out of thy winepress of that wherewith the Lord thy God hath blessed thee. Thou shalt give unto him. God in his law said when you set that Hebrew servant free, you just load him up before he goes. Be a blessing to him. Don't just set him out on the corner there with nothing in his hand, but you're going to give out of your flock. You're going to give out of the wine press. You're going to give out of your floor. You're going to bless him according to how God has blessed you when it comes time. And so the master would do that, but it came time to go, and the servant said, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. I want to stay with him. I want to stay with my master. I don't want to just go away and say, Lord, thank you for saving me. I appreciate it. I'll see you in heaven. But this servant says, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. I want to stay. I want to be thankful for what my master has done for me. You know, I was reading over there in Luke chapter number 17. Have you ever noticed about them 10 lepers over there that they met the Lord Jesus on the road? And he healed. He said, go to the high priest. Go to the synagogue. And as they went, they were healed of their leprosy. Can you imagine them fellas going down the road and all of a sudden they look around at each other, and I mean a leper would have been just a horrible, your flesh rotted upon your body. But as they went down the road to obey and do what the Lord Jesus told them to do, they got to looking at each other and their flesh white as snow. Healed of their leprosy just by obeying what the Lord told them to do. But you know what's interesting over there is that in Luke chapter number 17, only one of them lepers came back. And that one leper came back and fell at the feet of the Lord Jesus and thanked him and praised God for what he had done for him. And Jesus said, were there not ten? Were there not ten and just one come back? You know what I believe over there in Luke chapter number 17? I believe 10 lepers got healed, and I believe one leper got saved. Because you know what he said to that one that came back? He said, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. I believe that one that came back, I believe he got saved. You know, I wonder sometimes people talk about what the Lord's done for them and go away and never any thankfulness, never any praise, never any coming back to the Lord Jesus Christ and just thanking Him and praising Him for what He's done in their lives. I wonder if they really got. Well, that leper, that one that came back, he got it. He came back. And this Hebrew servant, he realized that he didn't want to go away, and his loyalty there. He said, I will not go away. But it goes farther than that. Not only was there loyalty there, but there was love there. Look what he said in verse 16. It said, and it shall be if he say unto thee, I will not go away from thee, because he loveth thee and thine house. He didn't want to go away, not just because he had it good, but he had it good. But he loved his master. He loved his master, and even though he could have went away free, he didn't want to go away because he loveth thee and thine house. You know what the Bible says over in 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 19? It says, we love him because he first loved us. We love him because he first loved us. Notice here in Deuteronomy chapter number 15 that this provision for the perpetual servant was offered at the end of his 6 years and not at the beginning of his 6 years. He had already been now 6 years with this servant or with this master. And this servant had been with this master for 6 years, and after 6 years of living in his house and serving him, he had seen the nature and the character of his master. He knew him now better than he did when he first came. He knew what he was like. He knew if he was a man of his word. He knew if this master really loved his servants and treated them well. And he had had time and opportunity to see how all the other masters treat their servants. When the day comes after he had served for 6 years, and his master said to him, all right, I appreciate all you've done for me. I've got some things for you to take with you when you go. And when he set his bags on the doorstep, I'll tell you, that servant, he looked around. He said, I don't want to go out there. I've seen how them other masters, and I know how my life was before. And you know what? I don't want to go. I love you. I love living here. You know, we all love the Lord. We love Him this morning. If you have any love for God, it's because He first loved you.
And you look back in your life and you can see how the other master out here, see, there's two masters in this world. And you're going to serve one of them. You're either going to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ or you're going to be a servant of the devil in this world. And this master, this servant here, he's seen all these opportunities and he said, I don't want to go. And I think he got to thinking about all that his master had done for him and how he had rescued him when he was in trouble. And how he had been a blessing to him down through the years. And God had blessed them as they had worked together there. And he thought about how his master had rescued him and blessed him and been patient with him and cared for him and all of these things. And he said, you know what? I love him. I don't want to go. I don't want to leave this house. You know, and I say this many, many times, keep your place here. If you go back in Romans chapter 12, I want to point out something I didn't look at last week, but I've always preached this to you and taught this to you, and that's when you see that little word, therefore, in the Bible. You know, it said in Romans 12 and 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. You really want to understand why we ought to give our lives to God in whole, voluntary offering, a consecration to Him. Read the first 11 chapters of Romans. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, all of these things. You know, we started studying Romans in our Sunday school class, and I can't remember who it is that brought it out. But they're talking about the book of Romans. The book of Romans is the crown jewel of the Bible. You want to find out what you have in the Lord Jesus Christ? Read the book of Romans. Boy, you talk about what God has done for us. There's no way I could go through all of it. Look back in chapter 5. Let me just read a few things. We find out there's justification by faith in the book of Romans. Chapter 5 and verse number 1. Let's just read a few things. Therefore, why we ought to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Look what God has done for you if you're saved this morning. He said in verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I preached on that last Sunday. But I'll tell you, that's a blessing. If you had to work your way to heaven, you'd die and go to hell. He said in verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We have access. We can come to God. Verse 3 said, not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. How is it that God's children, be at the bottom of the bottom, and we've got trials and tribulations and problems just like the world, but I'll tell you, it's just by the grace of God sometimes we can stand up and say, praise God anyway. That we can glory in tribulations. Well, it's been a rough road, but you know what? Thank God for it. It's been a blessing. God's people, God's so good to us. He can give us a song in the night. It's what it says in the book of Psalms. Blessed is God my maker who giveth songs in the night. And verse 4 and verse number 5, and hope maketh not ashamed. You know what? I have hope, and I'm not ashamed. But I read that right there, and I think about some people a few years ago that was singing that song, hope and change, and waving flags and banners and all that. Where's that crowd? The hope's got a flat tire. But praise God, my hope don't have a flat tire. I know that's not good English, but you understand what I'm saying this morning. My hope is not gone. My hope is grown. Because my hope is in the right place. Somebody said it was hoax and change. Now you fed a lie and all you got is change in your pocket. You see what I'm saying? And he said in verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's why we ought to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Therefore, the Bible said, Verse 9, much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Some people, they're looking to go through the tribulation. Bless their hearts. I'm not looking to go through the tribulation. I'm looking to be snatched from this world right before the wrath of God falls upon it. And it might look like sometimes we're in the tribulation, but I promise you this morning, we are nowhere near what the Word of God says is going to happen in the book of Revelation. I'm looking to be saved from wrath because of His blood. Verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, but by whom we have now received the atonement. Look in chapter 8 and verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I'll tell you this morning, it makes me want to shout and run around when I think about what God has done for me. A lot of times people say, well, I don't know if I got saved or not. I know I got saved. Because you know what, after I got saved, you know what God done for me? He took away that condemnation. He took away that fear down in my heart that I was going to die and go to hell. Yeah, there's been times where I doubted and wondered and all those things, but I'm telling you, the condemnation's gone. There's therefore now no condemnation. Boy, I'm not worthy. I'm the most unworthy. Like Paul, I could say today, I'm the chiefest of sinners, but thank God, condemnation is gone. I don't worry about dying and going to hell. I don't feel condemned in my soul that the judgment of God is hanging over my head like a big black cloud and I can't get through to God, or if I died, I don't know what happened to me. Thank God. Condemnation is gone. There's therefore now no condemnation. You know what? It'd be good for us this morning just to remember what it was like once upon a time to feel like if you died, you're just going to die and go to hell. That condemnation being gone, you can't buy that. A drug can't make it go away. Alcohol can't make it go away. There's nothing, there's no religious road you can go down to make it go away, that condemnation. But thank God, when you get saved, it's gone. It's gone. I'm not worried about dying and going to hell. In chapter 11, he said this in verse 33. We're coming back down to chapter 12. The therefore, the reason why we ought to do this. He said, oh, in chapter 11, in verse 33, he said, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments. And His ways past finding out. Boy, I don't understand why God's so good. I don't understand why He don't kill all of us. That's what Paul's saying. The depth of His ways, His ways are past finding out. He said in verse 34, for who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been His counselor, or who hath first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed unto Him again, for of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Oh, I'm telling you, if love to God doesn't constrain us this morning to do some things for Him, I don't think anything will. Why are you doing what you're doing, preacher? You ought to do it because you love Him. Because you love Him. You know, this Christmas break, I've been fiddling around in the basement, and I told Kim, I said, I'm tired of that mess down there. I said, I've got a couple of weeks off from school. I said, I'm going to make me a man cave. And that's what I've been doing. I've been making me a man cave. And I told her that, and I've worked hard, I tell you. You know how basements is, they get old. But I've been down there and I've been going through boxes and things that I've had and getting rid of and everything. And I found something yesterday that I'd even forgot that I had. But you know what I found? I found a resignation letter. I didn't bring it with me, but when I was pastoring out in Idaho at the Faith Baptist Church, I wrote a resignation letter, and I got up and I read it before the church. And I told them there at the church, I said, something like this. I said, I'm resigning from my job. I said, I'm resigning from the job of a singing leader, and I'm resigning as a Sunday school teacher, and I'm resigning from my job of the pastor. I said, I have come lately to feel like it's my job, and I'm telling you, serving God's not a job, serving God's a privilege. And I said, I'm resigning from all of that. I'm just going to do it because I love God. That's why I got into it to begin with. Because He loved me first and I want to do something for Him. And it went a whole lot better from then on. But you know what? You can feel like this morning that you have to. You have to come to church. That you have to teach. That you have to sing. That you have to do a certain thing. You got it all messed up in your mind. You ought to do what you do just because you love Him. Just because you're not going to hell and you got heaven and glory for all of eternity and you're going to be here for a little while. Praise God. I'll tell you, if we don't do what we do because we love Him, we're not making any impact anyway. Boy, he said, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. I want to stay here. I love my master. And I love this house. And he's seen those things. There was loyalty and there was love. And there's something else there in verse number 16. He's seen that he just lived better. He lived better. Said there in verse number 16, he said, and it shall be if he say unto thee, I will not go away from thee, because he loveth thee and thine house, because he is well with thee. He's seen there in verse number 16 that his life was just better because that he lived and he abided and abided there with his master there. I'll tell you this morning, I can just praise his name because I'm better off with the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to trade places with nobody. I don't want to live in Manhattan in a high rise, and I don't want to be hauled around in a limousine, and I don't want to be famous as far as this world is concerned. I want to be famous with God. Just serve where He's put me and do what He's asked me to do. I'm better off. That servant realized that He was well with him. I know this morning, I realize I'm just a slave. But you know what? He treats me like a prince. Treats me like a king. God's good to me. If you're honest this morning, God's good to you for all that He's done in our lives. You're better off. He said there in Romans 12 and 1, he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. I've seen how that other master treats his servants. I don't want none of that. You see this in church year after year after year. There's people, they just make up their minds. They've got to be a prodigal. They've got to go out there in the world. They've got to try it. They've got to test it. They've got to go. You can talk. You can pray. You can preach to them. Hey, they just made up their minds. I'm going to go free. I'm going to go out here and live in the world. Hey, if you got to be a prodigal, go on. You know what? Sometimes the best thing that can happen to us is for the world to take a ball bat and just bust us across the shins. And if God in His grace lets you limp home, you'll be better off because of it. You'll say, I don't want that master no more. I don't want to go out there. I don't want to live out there. I'll tell you, it's better off living for God. Being His servant and living in His house and under His rule and under His reign. I've not lost anything. I've gained everything. I'm feeling good this morning. Praise God. We ought to praise Him. We ought to love Him. We ought to prostrate ourselves before Him and praise His holy name. Because I'm so much better off. Oh, I live better because I'm one of His children. I don't want to go out. I live better off. He said, I live better. I love Him. I don't want to go out. And in verse number 17, you know what he did? He lost himself. Jesus said, if any man will follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross
follow after me. He said in verse number 17 there, he said, then thou shalt take an awl and thrust it through his ear under the door, and he shall be thy servant forever. Did anybody have an awl in your pocket this morning? I'd like to borrow it. Well, I didn't think you would, so I brought one. Now I need a volunteer. You know, it's hard to get volunteers sometimes, isn't it, Brother Jason? I mean, you want to make a little illustration and show everybody what the Word of God says and what that means, and nobody wants to help you. But you see what he's saying there in verse number 17? He's saying if he says that he is going to be loyal to your house and he loves you and he knows that he's better off, then what you do with that servant, instead of setting him free, you take him and you put his ear to the door and you take an awl and you put his ear unto the door. Now, I think that's a little better than what they'd had about 6,000 years ago. We're not talking about him getting his ear pierced to have a little girly ear ring in his ear. He's going to be marked forever. This was a tool to punch holes in leather and ream it around so you can sew something together using leather. That's what an awl was, and that's a small one. He said, you take that awl, and you pierce his ear under the door there, and he's going to lose himself. He's going to be marked. He's never going to be the same after that. It's not going to grow up. He's going to have a big old hole in his ear for the rest of his life, and that's going to be a mark that he now serves a master, and he has put himself in the position of never going out and starting his own business, never going out and doing all them things that he thought, if I ever get free, that's what I'm going to do. He's just put himself in the place and he said, I'm going to serve you. And everybody's going to know it because I'm going to have this big hole in my ear. And he's going to lose himself to his master. You see, Romans chapter number 12 is not a little three-minute devotional that we do once or twice a year, but I'm telling you, it's serious business. And the world would say this. The world would say, that's cruel. That's mutilation. Should be against the law to do anything like that. That one man would mark another man in such a way that he would be marked the rest of his life. If the United Nations had been around then, they'd have sent out a letter and a commission and a report against the master taking the servant and piercing his ear through. The world's against it. But I'm telling you something this morning. God never asks us to do anything that he's not already done. You know, while I was studying about this, and I'd forgot about this actually, and I found it again just this morning. Over in Psalms chapter number 40 and verse number 6, 7, and 8, you know the scripture over there. I'll read it for you for sake of time. But in verse 7, this is a messianic psalm about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it said in verse 7, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. That's Jesus prophesying about, then I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. You know what this book's about? It's about Jesus. He said, in the volume of the book, it is written of me. He said on down, verse number 8, he said, I delight to do thy will. Oh my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. But you know what he said in verse number 6? He said, mine ears hast thou opened. Jesus was saying that about himself. He had put himself in the place of a servant. He's the complete, ultimate example of what it means to present your bodies a living sacrifice. He gave his life so that you and I could live. His ears has been opened. And he asked us, I beseech you therefore, brethren. Notice there, it's significant that they took the servant's ear. You know what we do with our ears? We listen. You know what? I'll listen to what God says to me.
You know what we do with our ears? We obey what God asks us to do. I'm going to listen. I'm going to obey what God tells me to do in this life. And he said there in verse number 17, it's interesting to me. He said, thrust it through his ear unto the door. And I'll tell you, if he'd done that and walked off, that servant would have been standing there with his head stuck to that door. You know who the door is, don't you? Boy, wouldn't it be good if we could get our ear pierced unto the Lord Jesus Christ, we'd listen. That'd be a good place to be. There'd be liberty there. Oh, there's a lot of blessings there. And then last of all this morning, there's the length in verse number 17. Last of all, he said, then thou shalt take an awl and thrust it through his ear under the door, and he shall be thy servant forever. I like that. Forever, he said, he's going to serve him. The Bible said in Romans 12 and 1, it said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Not something that you do for a couple of weeks. Not something that you do when you're going through a trial in your life and you really need the help and the presence of God. And so that trial makes you draw near unto the Lord. And then the trial gets over and you say, well, I'll go back to the way I was. Not just a little while. Not just while your children are growing up. I've seen that. Seen parents seemingly take advantage of the grace of God, and all while their children are young, and they'll bring them to church and want them to get saved, but then they get saved and then they get gone. It's not just something to get you through raising your children. It's not just something to do until you retire or after you retire, or when you want to, you do, and when you don't feel like it, you don't. It's something that marks us for life, that changes us forever, and that we do for the until we get old and gray. I'd like to get old and gray. I'm already one. Serving God. Being in my place. Doing what God's called me to do. I think that's my hope. It's my dream. Well, I want to serve God till I leave this world. God's real servants, you know what? They are ruined as far as this world is concerned. I couldn't do anything else. I couldn't be any. I'd be ruined. I wouldn't be good at it. I'm done marked. Mark for the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you're marked this morning for Him and you want to live Him and be a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Well, that ought to be our desire this morning. I want to be like that servant. I want to come bring my life, put my ear under the door and ask the Holy Ghost of God to take my life. Mark it for Him and use my life, be used in His service. It's good to have a master. Do you know what? I'm going to say this and I'm going to close. I was reading a history book a while back by G.A. Hinty. Some of you may have heard of him or not. I don't know, but he wrote historical fiction. And once upon a time in America, children would read his books to learn history. And I was reading a book he wrote about the Civil War. And you know what I found out? You know where the term white trash comes from? Well, I thought that was something out of a country music song, preacher. I thought that something had come along with redneck culture recently. You know what? It didn't. You know where white trash come from? During the Civil War, the slaves termed that phrase white trash. And you know why they said that? Because they looked down on white people that didn't have a master. Not all of them hated being slaves. Some of them said, I got it pretty good. And they felt sorry for poor white people that would have to come and work on the plantation for nearly nothing, and they were treated worse than the slaves were. And the slaves called the white people white trash. They said, I'm glad to have a master. Now, I'm not promoting slavery, but you see what I'm saying. I'm glad. I don't feel like a slave. I'm glad to have a master. And I'm sorry for the poor souls out there that don't have my master, because he's good. And it don't matter if they're white or black or purple or yellow or whatever they are. I'm glad I got Jesus. He's the best thing that's ever happened to me. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed.